You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more.
Welcome to episode 49 of the Geocaching Podcast. I first want to apologize. We are not doing a live show tonight because there was problems with TalkShoe. And so we actually rescheduled with Shauna from Groundspeak. So make sure you join us on March 18th. We will be redoing the interview live with Shauna on the 18th, and she'll be able to spend some time with us and talk more about where I go. So make sure you join us on the 18th of March, and we will be talking with Shauna again about, we'll be rescheduling and talking about the where I go. Tonight we're just going to do a little brief talking about the where I go, but not in depth like we would with Shauna. I also want to remind you guys that there's the Cacher Coffee next week, which is kind of a Cacher roundtable, kind of open, just like relaxed chat. So that's happening next week. Make sure you guys hit our show notes, geocachingpodcast.info. That'll keep you up on all of the stuff going on. Tonight, I do have Daryl W4 as my co-host tonight for this mini episode. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Hey, welcome back. Too bad we had some issues with TalkShoe tonight, but I think we can give people a good idea of what's going on.
Yeah, and then, like I said, you know, we're going to be live again next week and doing the Cacher Coffee, so that'll be a fun show. So what's been happening since you have been co-hosting since last week, or 2 weeks ago?
Oh, man, I have been so busy at work, it's been nuts. But we did at least get to go out and hit that meet-and-greet Groundspeak and Garmin in Chicago event, which was the GC19772 at the Garmin store in Chicago. And that is a really cool store. That was so much fun to go there. You know, we ran into Jeremy and Shauna of Groundspeak, and Shauna will be joining us on the 18th to talk more about the Where I Go platform, which is really cool. But we also ran into Jake of Garmin and three of the other developers, and you know, huge staff at the store itself. How about you?
Yeah, actually, it was kind of funny because you mentioned the Garmin and Groundspeak meet and greet in Chicago. That Friday night, I was talking to my wife. It was about 11 o'clock, and I said, man, I really want to go to that. And she said, well, do it. And so I was planning on going and trying to figure out how it was going to work. She was spending the day out doing some shopping away from town with some of her friends. And so she had one of our boys, and I was going to have the other one. So, I said, oh, this will be easy. You know, we can ride the train up. And then I got, you know, to Chicago, and I got looking, and it was going to be a decent walk. And it was still fairly cold out. And so I just didn't think it was going to work. So instead, those of you who've been following me and know that I've been stuck at about 199 caches for the last few months, me and my son, Micah Boy, went out and hit our 200th and 201st cache. So that was pretty funny. That was pretty good. We enjoyed that and had a good day, despite not getting to go to the event that you went to. And then another thing, too, is I want to wish happy belated birthday to ClickShick. It was her birthday, and we want to wish her a happy birthday. So, happy birthday, ClickShick. Daryl, you want to kick us off with this Where I Go topic?
Sure. Yeah, we got a brief overview of Where I Go from Jeremy, actually, directly. And it's at whereigo.com, but described as a toolset for creating and playing location-based adventures in the real world as players use GPS technology to guide themselves through to a physical location they can interact with virtual elements along the way. Basically, what it means is you're playing of an old-style video game like Zork, where you know one of those old text-based adventure games, or you know even kind of on the lines of some of the newer games like World of Warcraft, with your GPS in the real world. And it's you know not necessarily a GPS; it could be a pocket PC with a GPS, and that's actually your best device. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But the Colorado actually supports it natively. So we actually went out from that demo to it was a water tower on Michigan Avenue that just completely escaped my mind now, and played the demo that's built into the unit, which is not based on a specific location. You just have to start on the unit and walk a certain number of feet and interact with it, and it's a kind of cool little game. Certainly nothing that I'd want to really play if I were actually getting into Where I Go, because it's just intended to kind of get you started. It took us maybe 5 minutes to actually, you know, go and do it. But it's a cool platform. You know, you can go up on the website, download these little game cartridges, play them on your own if there's one available. And for me, the problem right now is there's none available in Michigan.
Yeah, I looked here and there's not any available here in Indiana either.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to actually getting into the Builder and trying that. But right now it's kind of a little tough to get into the Builder because there's no real demo of how to do that. It's just kind of, you know, throw it in. It's still in beta too. So there's some issues with that. But, you know, it's looking like it's not going to be that tough to actually put together a cartridge once the demos come out. And we were just talking with Shauna before the show. And when she comes on the 18th, hopefully we'll have some news about, some like little tutorial demo kind of things that will show us how to go about building those cartridges.
Yeah, and I do want to remind people, too, that this... we're just basically briefly touching on it tonight. We had intended to have Shauna on and talk in depth, but since due to the talk shoe problems, we're just kind of briefly bringing you a little bit of a glimpse into it. And then, you know, on the 18th, Shauna will definitely be joining us, and we'll you know, talk a little bit longer and have a longer show where, you know, we can discuss it in depth. So how do you go about playing it then?
Well, you have to download the cartridge and load it into the device. And the devices right now that support it are just the Pocket PC with the GPS and the Colorado. And we actually did the demos on the Colorado. The only experience I've had with the thing is on the Colorado. And the problem with the Colorado is it only supports images, doesn't support audio and video, which, from what I understand talking with Jeremy, the Pocket PC does do audio and video. So there's going to be a little bit of a limitation on the Colorado, but it's easy, you know, it's something that we're all probably eventually going to start looking at buying because it's a good geocaching tool, and we'll talk a little bit more about the updates later on that really brought the 400T and the 300 into that category of being a good geocaching tool. But you know, once it's on the unit, you go out, play the unit, play the game, and there's all kinds of cool things that you can do with it. So one of the games that they were talking about, you have to charge a crystal. And in order to charge that, you have to run. And the faster you run, the more you're charging that crystal. You know, there's other games where you just have to go and, you know, answer some questions, you know, solve some kind of puzzles, and then you get more instructions. So, you know, you have the linear kind of gameplay. Some of it's supposed to be non-linear if you want to do that, you know, get to the big boss at the end and solve it, and then you go and log it online that you found the, or that you've completed that cartridge. So there's a lot of cool capabilities in this platform, but it is in its infancy right now. The Colorado is really the only player that I know of that's actually not classified as beta. The Pocket PC version is classified still as beta. And I haven't talked to anyone who's used the Pocket PC version, but that's kind of what I'm really looking forward to, is getting my hands on that. But it's not just going to be for gaming. You can also use it for any kind of location-based tours, educational kind of stuff. I'm really looking forward to using this to do some of the tour guides that I'd been looking at, you know, the history tours of like a rail trail, because this looks like it's finally going to do that. You know, I can go and put some photos in there, little triggers for geographic locations, and that really has me excited more than the games do.
Yeah, that to me sounds more like what I would probably end up using it for, and especially if you lived in near a like history-rich area, like say you were in Philadelphia or you know somewhere like that, where you're history-rich area, that'd be awesome for the tourism department to somehow incorporate this into, you know, maybe like a handheld device that you could rent, or you know, like maybe a Pocket PC that you could rent from them and go around the town and learn all about different, you know, self-guided tours, really. And that sounds to me like an awesome idea.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, maybe not even to rent, just to even post on the website, and if you're going to the area, you download and you run it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is certainly doable with this. And you know, the Detroit Zoo has some caches placed in it as a kind of trial to see if it can get people into the zoo that way. You know, what about doing a cartridge with details about the animals at the zoo with some photos and videos, you know, some audios of these animals actually in the wild so that you can get a better feel for what they do in the wild, get some more details, and you can get off the little signs that they have at the zoos. You know, I could see that as a great educational tool, especially if you were to go and do a couple different ones, you know, do one for like the younger kids, do one for the older kids. Yeah, I could see some very cool educational things coming out of that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So your overall thought, what you took away from the event on Saturday, what was your overall thought?
Well, my overall thought is that I really need to spend some time looking at the platform more, not just playing it, but at the builder to find out what this thing really can do. But I'm very excited about it. It looks like it is going to be, you know, a whole new extension to location-based gaming and education and everything else that we've been talking about. So I'm really anxious to try it, but right now there's not enough there that I can try it. You know, you're really jumping into it at the bleeding edge, and it's not ready for the average user yet, at least not in this area. Out in the Seattle and I think all the way down through the coast of California, they do have a bunch of these cartridges out there. And if you're in one of those areas, I'm sure you could try it out on your Colorado or on Pocket PC with a GPS and give us an idea of what that really feels like. Because right now we don't have a good feel for how some of the games work and what it can really do. But my initial reaction is I'm really excited about doing those tours, and I'm hoping that someone will start jumping on that and developing some of those, and I'd like to develop some myself.
Yeah, my overall thought, just from what I've seen of it, and I've downloaded the builder and I've played around with it a little bit too. And my overall thought is, yeah, it's going to be a very cool platform, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen and see how fast it's adopted. I have a feeling it's going to be a little bit slower because you're going to have a specific, you know, Pocket PC or Garmin Colorado. As opposed, you know, where our geocaching, you know, everybody can just go and get a GPS and play. So I think it's going to be a little bit slower to maybe be accepted, but I think it's got a huge potential.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a little bit tougher to get a saturation of these cartridges going, just because it's not as easy as taking, you know, a film can and sticking it in a tree. You know, this actually is going to take some time to develop these modules.
And that'll be a good thing.
It can be, yeah. But it's also going to be a little tough for those of us in areas where there might not be as many people willing to develop.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So, hey, we've got some listener feedback that was called into our voicemail at 206-353-GPS. And that's our voicemail number. Daryl, you want to go ahead and play that for us?
Yeah, this is BSA-534 out of Arkansas. And I just was given my little different way that I do the caches. I use GSAC, and I have a couple of pocket queries that download every week, and I just put everything in GSAC, and then I use the filters in GSAC and set it up. Depending on what part of the state I'm going in, I may change the center point to that to a cache in that area, and then just go however many miles, 50 miles or whatever, till I get around 1,000 caches, which is the maximum that my GPS will hold, and then I download that to my GPS, and then I export everything out to CacheMate, and that's how I set up my cache runs when I'm getting ready to go to whatever part of the state I'm going to cache that weekend. Thanks for the topic. Great show. Bye.
That voicemail was in response to our show that we had the other week about different ways that we cache, and I just had put up a challenge for people to send in their ideas and how, and if they do any caching different. And so that was in response to that. Thank you very much for sending that in. If you guys would like to send any other voicemail anytime or put any feedback in, go ahead and send a voicemail to us at 206-350-3GPS. Or you can send us an email, which can be found on our show notes at geocachingpodcast.info. So, Daryl, there's been updates to the Colorado T, and you said that there have been some pretty decent, significant updates. Now, the updates, it brings us to the point now where we'd actually expected it to be when we first heard about the Colorado. And one of the first things that they did is they added the ability to show and review the geocaches on the map. And I know that was your, probably, would you say that was your biggest complaint about it to begin with?
Yeah, that probably was the number one thing that really drove me nuts on the unit, because I do use that function, you know, so frequently on the 60, just, you know, so I can kind of plan the route on the go in the field, you know, so I don't have to go and figure out, plan out every cache in order. You know, I can get a feel for it just by looking at it. But the other big thing that I really was looking for that it didn't have was the ability to mark the caches found or edit those in any way, actually. And they did add the support now to mark caches as found, not found, and DNF'd, and needs maintenance, too. So that's a really, really huge feature in my book. And those are the two features that really drove me to return the unit.
Yeah, I would say that I mean, I would like the ability to do that. I know that I use the found in my 76 CSX, but I you know, I would like love to have the DNF, you know, need maintenance or those other kind of things in there, you know, so I can kind of remember. That's a very cool feature. And they've also increased the maximum geocache count to 2,000 also. What was it before? I don't remember.
It was supposed to be 1,000, but reportedly it was 999.
Another thing, and this is a cool thing too, is they've added the support on the Colorado for field notes at geocaching.com. So you can upload a text file off of the Colorado right to the ground or geocaching.com, which, from what I understand, you know, will log your caches and everything right there. Is that how you?
Yeah, it basically works the same way as the geocache navigator, but when you're marking them as found, DNF, you know, needs maintenance. On the unit itself, it records that to a text file, and then that text file just gets loaded right in through your profile page, or through your account page, rather. And then my understanding, and I haven't had a chance to try it yet, is that it goes through and then asks you for the notes about what you did, and then you can submit them from there. But it's a nice way, and it just goes in order to log all your caches.
Now, you also say that it works well with geocaching, just leave it in the geocaching mode, so you don't need to switch to map. That was an update that they did?
Yeah, part of the problem that a lot of people have with the Colorado is that they're still wanting to try to do that go-to, and this is one of those things that I've picked up in the forum post. And if you're doing the geocaching, the way to really do that well, unless you're trying to route to a cache with the driving, the road directions, don't go to that cache. Just leave it in geocaching mode, select your cache, leave it there, because otherwise you have to go back into geocaching mode to find the notes, to mark it as found, unfound. But you can leave it in the geocache mode and rotate that rock and roller wheel to rotate through the different modes. So you'll get the little arrows, you get your details that you'd like just by rotating that knob around. So if you have one of these units, try that. And I think you'll find it much more usable than actually hitting that go-to cache. But, you know, I still need to really try the thing for real. I've got a number of questions. You know, the ones we had in Chicago, we had one for each of us, Dries and mine. Dries, when we left the store, it had been on in the store so long that I got confused and never thought we left the store, so I had to power cycle it. Then the one that I had given her locked up for me, or for her. Yeah, so we had all kinds of little problems with that. But you know, I also want to know the additional notes in the paperless caching. You know, can you put extra notes in there? You know, do you have to wait till you get back? Because if I have to make notes about what travelers I dropped, that might be a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
And even stuff like, you know, how do you deal with multi-cache stages? You know, I don't know if you have to mark a new waypoint every time you get one, if there's some way to go in and do it. So, you know, I need to get one and try it. And I've gone and ordered a Colorado 400T again through GPS City. So hopefully I'll have that even for this weekend.
Cool. I'm interested to hear what you think of it when you get the new one.
Yeah, I'm anxious to get my hands on it and really, really try it as, you know, my only GPS. Not have to bring the 60 along as my backup, and it's a totally different workflow that I'm going to have to get used to. But I think in the long run, it's going to be better because it's one device then that I use. And quite frankly, I'll probably still log through the WAP interface just because I like that instant notification that I found caches. But if I don't have service, I have to have something else as a backup.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Now, I do want to mention, too, that these Where I Go intro events are going to be going to various cities around the country. And they might actually be doing some internationally, too. I'm not sure. But the way that they're doing that is you can request them at Eventful, EventFul.com. And you just go there, sign up, and tell them where you want to have an event, you know, in your area, in someone else's area. But it's kind of a neat way to ask people where they want events to go. And it does give you a good idea of how the Where I Go service works and what it is that you're, you know, expecting when you get your hands on it. And they're just doing the, right now at least, they're just doing the basic tutorial that's in the Colorado. So if you have one of those Colorados, give it a shot. It's not that tough to learn to use the Where I Go software that's in the Colorado. Just go into that tutorial, you know, start the tutorial, follow the directions, read it carefully, and you should be able to figure it out pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and also put a link for the Eventful.com on our show notes. So check out our show notes, geocachingpodcast.info. And next week we are having our cacher coffee, like we had mentioned, and it's just going to be kind of like Daryl, you best described it, I think, as like a coffee house discussion, just like you would get together with your friends, have coffee, sit and talk about geocaching. And so that's really what it's going to be. We'll have a few different topics that we want to touch on, but mostly it's going to be driven by you guys. So go ahead and make sure you join us Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, geocachingpodcast.info. You'll find all of the information on how to get live with us. Call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. And we'd love to have you, love to hear from you, love to basically, you know, meet people we've never ever had on the show. So come on out, join us, and bring a cup of coffee, and we'll have a good conversation. So with that, thanks for joining us for episode 49 of the Geocaching Podcast.